You are listening to the For the Rose Tech Podcast, episode 302. Season 8, episode 302 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is August the 28th, 2017. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and eating leftover wedding cake is my brother, James Furlough.
Yeah, was that a wedding? Except I didn't have any cake because my kids got tired before cake was served. So,
exactly.
Was it good?
It was, I didn't have any either. I was expected. I had birthday cake the next day, but I...
That's right, you're older now. Congratulations.
I know, thank you. Every day, man, every day, once a year. Yeah, it's good. Thank you. Look, I'm just going to go for it. We're trying a new introduction today. I'm a little bit nervous.
Focus, read slow.
All right. Every week on this podcast, we're going to try to definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To answer that question, we're going to take into all sorts of things into account, including the companies involved, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course the technology they're developing. I didn't love that. I'm going to keep working on it. James, though, before we get into the heart of the show, has got a short disclosure he's going to throw our way.
Yes, I work for HPI. However, I do not represent HPI or any of their opinions. I also own part of Twitter, Etsy, and Lending Club. I want to keep that in there.
Perfect. Cool.
So the question that we're asking is Apple's AR the next like multi-touch or is it the next force touch?
Yes, but what does that mean?
Yeah, great question. So AR, augmented reality, well, we're going to start with that. That's the idea of whatever you're seeing, it's augmented with something in front of it. So like there's a bunch of examples. We'll talk a little bit about them ahead of time. But imagine essentially computer graphics that are overlaid on top of your real world. And we're specifically going to be talking about Apple and what they're doing. And Apple has come out with different interactions device features before.
User interfaces sometimes.
User interfaces. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. One of them, the big one that changed everything was multi-touch. Before then, it was like the little trackballs and what was it? I don't remember their name. BlackBerry. They had the ball and this, you couldn't touch the screens. Palm Pilots, remember you could write with the stylus, pretty lame. Apple came out with multi-touch and changed everything. And literally to this day, like a device seems broken if it doesn't have multi-touch anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with this? I know my daughter, like she'll go up to a computer monitor and she'll try to swipe and try to move. And if it doesn't, she's like, this is dumb.
This is your two-year-old daughter, right?
I mean, yes, my two-year-old daughter. We went and visited my parents. They have a television. She was like trying to tap on the screen to get it to do something. And I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't hit the screen. It's not made for that. Or conversely, Apple also came out with something called Force Touch. And it's this idea on newer iPhones where you press the screen a little bit and it kind of does a vibration. It might show you a preview of something. You press even harder and then it'll open up whatever it is that you were looking at. So like if you look at a link and do a soft press, it'll give you a preview. Do a hard press, it'll actually pop in the new page. It turns out that if you just do a long touch, you kind of get like the exact same functionality. And so it didn't change the game. And I think it's telling that they don't have it on iPads right now because they're like, turns out it's not really needed.
Yeah.
And so it's not on computers either, whereas the multi-touch, they've integrated that all into their trackpads. And so, what?
But no, Force Touch is on the trackpad.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yes.
I guess you're right. It is on a trackpad.
Yeah,
but anyways, my point being, it's not a game changer. It's cool. There's some functionality, but it's not a game changer. And so the question is, when Apple, well, what they're doing right now with augmented reality, is it a game changer? Is it multi-touch or is it force touch? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Makes sense. Sweet.
Yes.
So there's some really cool things that that you can do. Apple has a new thing called AR Kit, and so it's this new thing that lets developers make apps super easily. Essentially, they do a lot of shortcuts so that they can just get to making the fun stuff instead of trying to build all the back-end stuff. There's a super cool website. It's called madewitharkit.com, and we're going to have a link to it on our website so you can check it out. And essentially, it catalogs a bunch of videos. So the latest one that I saw, which was on today, was this guy who's got like this little virtual dog. He's sitting in a park, and he's playing fetch. He's got like a little virtual stick, and then he can flick the stick out into the yard, and it looks like the stick tumbles onto the grass, and then the dog goes and gets the stick. The virtual dog goes and gets the stick and brings it back. Simple things like that. There's another one. It's a tape measure where you can kind of use your phone as a target to like say, I want to start on this end of the table, and then it'll look like a tape measure goes to like the end of the table so you can measure it. A ton of different things. So it's a very cool website. Highly recommend that you check it out. And like I said, we'll show you, if you're watching the video, you'll have seen what the dog thing can do.
Yeah. And if you want another concrete example, we got an article as well that Mercedes has built an app that allows you to basically put a full-size Mercedes in a virtual space. So like you're standing in a parking lot, you open up the app, it'll put a full-size Mercedes. So you can walk around it, looking at your phone, looking at it at real size, at real scale. And you can like, because it's a virtual object, you can go inside of it very easily and see the console and the seats and everything. So it's just sort of an initial take on the whole thing. It's pretty neat. I like it. So do you know how it works, James?
There's a lens involved, I think, and a screen at some point, and computers.
Exactly. So last year, Pokemon Go became pretty famous.
Oh, yeah.
And that they were doing, one of the things you could do is you could put, like, the Pokemon would appear in the real world, but it wasn't very good. Like, if you moved around and stuff, they just sort of stay in the same position. It was pretty lame.
I may or may not have played Pokemon while driving, and so they would sit on my, like, they'd hover in the street.
Exactly. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get away from that and get towards, no, they actually have a position in space. If you walk towards them, they get bigger. If you walk away from them,
it's this idea of like it's like an absolute location, right? As opposed to a relative location.
What it means is that your phone has 6 degrees of freedom in its vision. It can see and understand the size of things. This actually, we do this as human beings with our bifocal vision. The fact that we have two cameras effectively with a fixed position apart, and we know the angle of the cameras because we know where our eyes are, our brain knows where our eyes are looking, we're able to calculate distances based on having those two images. And one of the interesting things about this is that neural networks are really great at this, particularly brains, developing the ability to understand a size based on the relative separate images of two lenses. You can do this in hardware, you can do this mathematically, there's all sorts of different ways that you can do that. But the big thing is it requires two cameras, or you can use some sort of depth field scanners. And this is how Android actually goes about doing this with their Tango stuff. And the reason why this is important is Apple's actually going to have a similar feature in their new iPhone. But what it does is it sends out a matrix of dots in the infrared range, so you can't see them, but they reflect off the surface, and then the camera can see that dot. And because it's an even matrix, the dots will show up in all sorts of weird places depending on the depth of all the unit of everything it's hitting, and it allows you to build up a depth field. So those are the two real different ways you get a
set, similar to like sonar with fishing. Like a fish finder, like it sends out a signal. And then depending on how long it takes the signal to come back or to read it, you know, if there's a fish.
That is a good analogy. That's not how it works.
Okay.
It's a very good analogy.
Okay.
yeah, because it doesn't rely on how it did. You're so close that you can't, the distance, you're literally seeing, if a dot hits an object 5 inches closer than the dot next to it, you can calculate the distance between those two dots based on how far apart they are.
All right.
And so you, But Apple doesn't have any either of those things in a lot of their phones that ARKit works on, which is hard to do. And so what they've done is they've done some pretty neat trickery where basically you're running this thing as a video, and you just hold in your phone, you get little micro vibrations, and as you walk around, the phone moves. But with the gyroscope and the accelerometer in the phone, it allows them to make some rather rough estimations about the absolute position of the phone. Then, on top of that, they're able to do what's called key point tracking, which is they see specific points in space. Like, if you've got objects on your desk or whatever, it can see specific points and track those frame to frame. It uses all that information to basically say, to say, I know where the phone has moved, I know how far it's moved from one point to another, and over time, I can simulate the effect of having two lenses.
Huh.
And I can simulate having 3D view. And so they're going to, I think they're probably going to do some cool stuff as time, depending on the success of this platform. You'll probably see more hardware coming into future phones to give better and better accuracy on their depth sensing. But this is what's allowing them to retroactively add it to all of their past phones with a simple software update.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine part of its success is being able to be on everybody's phone.
Yeah.
Right?
That'll make a huge difference. But James, before we go any further, it's time to have a message from our sponsor. This week, this episode is going to be brought to you by September.
September.
It's coming very quickly, and you're going to have a limited opportunity to get some, so we really recommend you go out there and get it. If you get it now, you're going to get it at a discount for free. It's going to be delivered directly to your door. You can find it in a calendar anywhere near you. September's a great month of the year. Things happen, like the end of summer.
I know I'm going to get a September, and I've got a lot of plans that I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
Since I can only have September for a limited amount of time.
Exactly. September has either 30 or 31 days, depending on what calendars you're looking at.
Okay.
Is that not true?
I feel like it's always... Is it? Hold on.
I couldn't remember as I started.
30. 30 days.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot, so I was just like, you know, just dive bomb into the idiocy.
August is 31. September is 30.
Cool. All right. And
it fills up the entire grid, by the way. It goes like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Anyways.
And about a 12th of everybody on Earth is going to be able to celebrate a birthday in the next September that you're purchasing. So happy birthday to everybody who does that. Anyways. Thank you. A message from our sponsor.
All right. That's weird. So, do you think... question is Apple's AR, is it going to be multi-touch, game-changing, or force touch? Interesting. I think one of the problems that they're attacking, which is what you were referring to, is... Or I should say, one of the things that it has to do to be successful is it has to be available to the majority of people, if not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, and this is the issue that like console gamers deal with, right? If like, I'm not going to develop a lot of cool things if you don't have a big platform. And so if it's only available on a small subset of phones, I'll play around with it, but I'm not going to invest. I'm not going to create a business around AR.
Right. Banks won't bankroll it.
Investors won't.
Right. And I think that's a huge thing, because if you look over the fence at Android, they've been pushing their AR platform a lot longer with Tango, and they just had a new phone come out that's like top of the line, ready to go for all this stuff. And the biggest complaint about its AR abilities is the software, because nobody owns the phones, nobody uses the phones, so there's no real, unless you're really interested in it, there's not a big ROI on, there isn't an ROI on developing these apps. There's just not a user base for it.
Gotcha.
Whereas
Apple, yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's a chicken and the egg thing, where big developers with a lot of money and the time and resource to make really useful apps like IKEA, they're going to come in and say, yeah, no, Apple is going to put this in the hands of millions of people, and they're going to be able to sit at home and look at what a couch is going to look like in this space or whatever. That's huge. That has a real advantage to getting that initial like step. I think the obvious thing that everybody kind of points out is the fact that it's weird to have it in your hand. It'd be a lot nicer if it were in a pair of very fashionable glasses or even just a heads-up helmet if you were at work.
I agree. That'd probably be my biggest like impediment to it. Is I'm like, oh, I gotta hold it up. It's not just gonna be ambient, which usually means it's just there and it's just kind of just sitting out there until you need it. And then you just like Siri in theory is that, right? With my watch,
I can
just say her name. Like, for example, when I go out on a run, often I'll remember stuff that I need to do. And I'll just be able to like, boom, real quick, hey, sir, remind me when I get home to do X, Y, Z. It's just there. It's not intrusive. It's not doing anything. But when I want it, I can get to it right away. And I don't know if AR, like, I feel like that's going to be a prerequisite
for it to
be successful.
I feel like we're going to have to differentiate between AR and AAR.
AAR?
Ambient. Augmented reality. The glasses, because I think
that's what everybody wants, and I think that's what the glasses enables.
Well, and I think the problem that they're going to be a victim of their own success in that I think a lot of people are going to get their hands on this. They're going to try it out, and everybody's going to jump immediately to the next step, which is, well, I want it in glasses.
Yeah, totally. I'm already there, and I haven't even tried it yet.
And they're going to disappoint. People are going to be disappointed by their own imagination. Now,
which, by the way, rumor mill is that Apple is working on a set of glasses. But it's going to be a heads-up display, not AR, which the fundamental difference is that in a heads-up display, like the display moves with you. Google Glass was an example of this. It's not actually the objects aren't planted in place. And I'm pretty like that's what the current rumor is for what Apple's developing. I think people are gonna flip out because like, what the heck? What about my AR? And a lot of the research I've read, they're like, it's just not there yet. They can't do it.
Well, you, I don't know if you're looking at my face. They will never launch that product if that's... No. I know. I'm going to tell you what's going on behind the scenes in Apple. They obviously know that nobody wants that product. That's a really bad idea. Like, people...
The heads-up display, you mean?
Yeah, people don't want Google Glass. They want a full...
I don't know if it looks cool for notifications. It's just your watch, the next generation of it.
No. People want AAR. They want ambient augmented reality. And they do not want a heads-up display. But Apple, in classic fashion, this is exactly what they did with the iPhone. One person was developing the hardware without the software. One group was developing the software without knowing what the hardware was. And that's what we're seeing. AR...
Man, I hope you're right, but I doubt it.
AR, we're seeing the software developed. The whole idea of this is short-sighted. They know this. People are going to complain about it. People aren't going to like it. It's going to be criticized. But what you're going to find is that they don't know precisely what the best use cases are, and it's going to be difficult to launch an entire hardware platform on software that's not fully developed. This gives them the perfect chance to try it out, to work out all the kinks, get it working exceptionally.
It's got the computing power.
Yeah. Try it at scale. And then what they're going to do is once they've got sort of this whole thing worked out, the guys who've been working on this like beautiful pair of glasses that have been running this really stupid like software, then
they said there's no camera on it right now.
Well, you know what? I wonder, well, okay, that's... If they do that, Apple's dead to me. There's no way they would do that. There's no way. Now, what I do think, you know, and honestly.
Maybe
honestly,
they get people used to it, this idea. We'll make glasses cool, then we'll add a...
I'll say this. I think that Microsoft is going about their AR hardware the right way, which is they build a special piece of silicon.
I agree.
That does the hardware accelerated... position tracking. They're doing it differently than how Apple does it, but they're doing it with hardware acceleration, which means it's not a software problem, which means you just need a chip and two cameras and you're ready to go. I think Apple is going to go in a similar direction where they literally can have three divisions all working separately. One doing the software, one making the glasses look beautiful, one guy's doing the head tracking thing, and then they could marry them all together in a month period. You know, because each one has designed their, or maybe not that short a period, but in a very short period, they could tie those things all together, and yet they could be could have been working on them for years. And I think that that's what you're going to see them do with their glasses. But this all obviously points okay. to, I think these are going to be a successful platform. I think you're going to see some fun apps that come out. People are going to like it. And you're going to start to see a certain type of app is going to come out that needs this, that people are going to, like IKEA apps, shopping apps, I think are going to, you know, car apps. Everybody's going to throw this in there. And because frameworks will be built on top of this. That will make, if you're a car manufacturer, you will get a framework that uses this that allows you to easily import your car models that you've already built for manufacturing into this really quickly. Or if you're IKEA or whatever, you'll find different things that make it easy to tie these all together into neat little bows. And when you've got enough frameworks that all work really well, then it's going to give creative developers the ability to quickly go in and build these things. And it'll be another way for people to sort of shop and to play games. And I don't think you're going to see anything I think the problem is you're not going to see anything revolutionary in this first generation. I think it's going to take until you get to ambient.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. I think as long as it's stuck on the phone, it's going to be more like Force Touch. I think it'll be better than Force Touch, but I think it'll be more like it. Yeah. Where there's some cases where it makes sense, it's interesting. I don't think it'll be in the majority of apps, like you were talking about. There's some certain shopping apps where it can make a lot of sense. Maybe some games. Yeah. I don't know. I look at the one where they show like the board game desktop examples, where it's like we're playing D&D, we built this digital thing, and it's sitting on top of this empty desk. Like, that's dumb. I want to roll some dice, not hold my phone up.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Now, if I was rolling dice and had my AAR glasses on and just could see the world unfolding before me and could see the dice, that would be really cool. But yeah, holding my hand there, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm with you there. So I think as long as it's on the phone, it's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be revolutionary. I think once we get to that ambient AR that's on a set of glasses, I think you're changing the world. And I think we'll first see it in an office or an industrial environment where looks aren't quite as important, which is where we're seeing Google Glass go now. But I think Apple's clearly like they've hired one of the best glass designers in the world to come up with things.
Mark, what's his name? Is that what he's famous for?
Yeah, something. Mark, what's his name? Yeah.
Mark, what's his name?
Mark, what's his name?
We're so, super good at this.
Yeah, so I think they're going to come out with something. And I think when that happens, we're all going to go, oh my gosh. Now, when it happens, who knows? I mean, that's somewhere. Some people are like, end of next year. Like, yeah, right. Maybe 2020, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm hoping next year. That'd be sweet, but I doubt it. So that's my thoughts. Any last thoughts on Apple's AR? What do you think?
I think it is revolutionary, but we're still in the foundational period, and I think that people are going to just like with multi-touch, where they complained about the virtual keyboard and how terrible it was. I think people are going to complain about how great this is and not being great enough. But they're building a foundation towards something that will be really a game changer in the long run. Whereas First Touch is useful, but I think it's seen its, you know, the end of its life, its useful development pretty quickly. And I think AR has a long road to go, and this will be a pretty big step. So, cool.
Fair enough. And we got a questioner, we have a question for you, the listener. That's what I was trying to do.
Obviously, if you'd like to answer the question that we just answered, feel free to agree with us. Mind your own business if you disagree.
No. Reply if you disagree too. It's okay.
No, please. We want to hear your dissent. We'd actually be really interested to see if anybody has an interesting use case for AR that they're really excited about. Like, what gets you? Do you just want the virtual ruler, or do you want?
I love the tape measure. Something about it, simple and elegant.
Exactly. So
what do you want to see? That's the question.
Exactly. Let us know.
Comment up wherever you see this podcast. It's all right. We'll be there. All right. That's our show. So you can check out the links. Again, I highly recommend madewitharkit.com. We'll have the link on our website. And that's going to be furloughbros.com/ 302 because it's episode 302. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. And finally, we want to say thank you to those of you who did research to help us out. So specifically, Daryl Etherington, I should practice these, at TechCrunch, Matt Niesenix on Medium, and then Made with AR Kit for pulling all that information together. And so as a final thing, we want to say thank you for listening. This podcast is sponsored by listeners like you and by September. So on that note, I am James Furlow, and my wedding cake fasting brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. Thank you.